answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers!
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Let me take a moment to send the love and prayers to our entire nation, to the people of Australia, and especially all those affected by the horrific and anti-Semitic terrorist attack. And that's exactly what it is, anti-Semitic. That took place on a Hanukkah celebration in Sydney. What a terrible, terrible thing. We don't learn. We're joined in mourning all of those who were killed, and we're praying for the swift recovery of the wounded. Some are very horrifically wounded, as you probably know. All nations must stand together against the evil forces of radical Islamic terrorism, and we're doing that.
Yes, we are, and that's President Trump talking about the slaughter that took place on the Bondi Beach in Australia over the weekend, as Jews gathered to celebrate the beginning of Hanukkah. The shooters, a father and son, knew they were going after Jews. They knew they would be gathered there. That was their target. Anti-Semitism reaching a hate where kill is the next operation. The father ended up being killed. The other one is being held and charged with 15 counts of murder. And many in Australia said, we were warning our government. We were warning our government. This Islamic attitude and push is going to endanger our nation, not just our Jews in the nation, but the entire nation. I pointed out to you in the past that clearly what you see happening in Europe has been escalating. You just look at the various nations in Europe and how their culture, their image is changing as Islamist migration sweep in. They don't go into France and Germany to assimilate. They go in to take over. And you would have thought maybe Australia, separated by miles of ocean, would not be subject to it. Nope, they are. And it's been escalating. And the warning signs were there, and nobody did a thing about it. President Trump tonight will be giving a primetime speech. It will begin 8 o'clock, right after we finish Larry Connors USA. We will be carrying his speech live for you. Everyone is saying it's really just going to be an address to sell the agenda. He did promise in his statement that the best is yet to come after a great year for the country. The White House press secretary said the address will focus on the president's historic accomplishments, the border, inflation, and what's to come. It does come at a critical time, midterm election cycle underway. That will be taking place right here on News Talk STL as soon as we wrap up Larry Connors USA. Glad to have you on board our number one, Larry Connors USA, on December 17, 2025. With Larry Connors USA, you get news, analysis, opinion, and education. You leave each program with more knowledge than you had when you began listening. We're here every Monday through Friday for you from 6 to 8 p.m. Spread the word to your friends. 6 to 8 p.m., Larry Connors USA on News Talk STL. And reminding you, when we're on the air, we are streaming video. You can watch the program. You go to News Talk STL Rumble, Facebook or Twitter, Larry Connors USA Rumble or Facebook. And everything goes up later as a podcast, just in case you cannot watch or listen the entire 2 hours. I understand you have busy lives, and this time of season, so many things are pulling on you. Parties here and a party there, and you're wondering why you're gaining weight. There's your answer. But we're here every Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. Book it. In our next hour, a former Navy SEAL who's now a U.S. Senator talks about the bombing of these cocaine boats, and he says there's every reason to do it, and he said he took part in something like that at one time. You'll hear his statements in our next hour. Later this hour, the story behind the story. Golfer Payne Stewart and that ghost flight across our nation and then crashing. The story behind the story of the Payne Stewart crash. Reminding you, we are continuing to ask you to donate to Feed My People. We're working in conjunction with the St. Louis County Republicans to gather food, non-perishable items that we will then have distributed to those in need. And you can contribute. We have barrels set up outside Michael's Flooring locations, Chris's Pancake, Bartolino's, and also STL Windows and Doors. All of them collecting anything you can deliver, a non-perishable item, then we'll make sure it gets distributed to those in need. Congressman Chip Roy of Texas took to the floor yesterday talking about all the push for Islamists to come into our nation as well. Not just Europe, not Venezuela, but I had told you repeatedly, watch what is happening in Europe because they just simply cross over a border there. Once you're inside Europe, you pretty much have free rein to go from country to country. Many countries now are considering we're going to install at least a little more checkpoint. Some have them in place, but they don't really do a good job of vetting. You got tourists, you got American tourists that go into Italy, then they want to travel somewhere else in Europe. And I'm not going to tell anyone, do not go to Europe on a vacation or anything, but I'm telling you, when you watch what is happening in Europe, I would have second thoughts at this point. I would. But you do what you want to for your family. I'm not trying to alarm you, but if you're going to make such a trip, be constantly aware of your surroundings. Constantly. And Congressman Chip Roy says when it comes to those coming to our nation, here's his solution.
We should not be allowing more people into this country who are adherent to Sharia law. Period. The Muslim Brotherhood's own motto is Allah is our objective, the Prophet is our leader, the Quran is our law, jihad is our way, dying in the way of Allah is our highest hope. Meanwhile, Europe has fallen. London, Paris, mere shells of their former strong self. You watch veterans who fought to defend the United Kingdom in World War II, those still alive tear up and cry, wondering what it was they fought for. When they watch the radical extension of Islam into the streets of London and throughout the United Kingdom.
And we're not talking about those who would go to assimilate and become part of the French culture or the German culture and add their culture to it so it's a mix, as we have done with this nation. We have been a melting pot. We have had immigrants from all over the world coming in. That's how our nation was built. And yes, there was pushback in the beginning, pushback against the Irish, pushback against the other. Bottom line is, we are at a point now where it is a tipping point. Are we going to continue to just allow more to come in, unvetted, unchecked? And during the Biden era, thank you, Joe Biden, for open border policy. We don't know how many for sure really came across and how many were terrorists. Numbers have been thrown around, 1,800, 2,800. You could pick any number. That doesn't mean everyone coming in is a terrorist and plans to overthrow our government. But we don't know how many there are. Because we did not do proper vetting and checking. As the Biden administration told us, all those we're bringing from Afghanistan, they've been vetted. No, they were not. And they live among us. I don't want you to adopt a xenophobic fear of anyone different from you or from a different country. I do not want that. But those of that religion and that culture, they have only those in their own midst to blame for creating this fear. Congressman Chip Roy told you what we're seeing happen across Europe right now, and those who fought to make Europe safe and secure during World War II as he said, probably wondering, why did we fight if we're going to end up handing it over? And the same thing could be said in this nation. This nation is so far from where we were in 1945, a nation united against any enemy of this nation and the world at that point. Men and some women volunteering to fight and die to prevent Hitler and Japan from taking over. But gradually we have just kind of seceded and given this part away and that part away, and there is no rush, there is no rally cry to stand in the gap and hold the border. And it can all be traced back to the Democrat leftists. Congressman Chip Roy of Texas says, just look what's happened in France.
French officials have warned President Macron that Islamists are infiltrating France's republican institutions and are a threat to national cohesion. The authors of the report to Macron identified the Federation of Muslims of France, FMF, as the main French emanation of the historic Muslim Brotherhood, which is founded 100 years ago to promote a return to core Islamic values. They said the FMF controlled 139 places of worship in France and a further 68 affiliated in all around 7% of the total. The organization ran some 280 associations. 7 out of 10 French voters would back a ban on the Islamic veil in public because of what's happening in France. In the United Kingdom, Muslims are increasingly turning to Britain's Sharia courts, which are not part of UK law and operate as informal bodies. The number of Sharia courts in Britain has grown to 85 since the first began operating in the country in 1982. Polls have found that 41% of the British public believe that Muslim immigrants have had a negative impact on the United Kingdom. Nearly half think that Muslim women are pressured into wearing the hijab, and almost a third think that Islam promotes violence.
You're going to hear more from Chip Roy in our next hour dealing with this very topic. In the meantime, President Trump ordering a total and complete blockade of all sanctioned oil tankers entering or leaving Venezuela.
President Trump is now taking the already boiling tension with the Venezuelan president to a new level now, ordering a, quote, total and complete blockade on sanctioned oil tankers in and out of Venezuela. He says that's going to be backed by a, quote, unquote, armada of U.S. ships in the region. The specific wording of Trump's announcement may allow for more wiggle room than his blockade threat suggests, but he's definitely trying to escalate things even further. It comes after the U.S. Coast Guard seized this ship. We've been showing you this video since last week off of Venezuela's coast. The new threat is now intended to hit right at the heart of the Venezuelan economy, its massive oil reserves.
And what's the response from Maduro? Well, first of all, they put out a statement, an official statement, condemning Trump and accusing him of seeking to impose, quote, an irrational naval blockade on Venezuela in order to steal the wealth that belongs to our homeland. Trump did state, the Venezuelan regime is now designated a foreign terrorist organization. Therefore, I am ordering a total and complete blockade of all sanctioned oil tankers going into and out of Venezuela. The illegal aliens and criminals that the Maduro regime has sent into our nation are being returned to Venezuela at a rapid pace. Maduro spoke to his audience, as you hear from a translator.
The oil working class. No. The oil working class, through this International Constituent Commission, must proceed to defend the right to free trade in the main export product, Venezuelan oil, in all international settings, in multilateral organizations, in trade union organizations, to speak with the ship owners of all the ports of the world to prepare a great protest of oil and gas workers and merchant marine workers against the piracy of the United States government that intends to impose another letter of marque on the world.
Now there's a flaw, maybe a fly in the ointment of this whole story. There is a U.S. company, Chevron Oil, operating in Venezuela with U.S. permission. I've got a guest coming up. We're going to get into that in more detail as to how that's going to play out. Would the Chevron facilities be nationalized by Maduro? Very likely. They are operating there under specific U.S. Treasury license, allowing it to produce and export oil despite all these sanctions against Venezuela. But what's going to happen at this point? And you look at CNN, and their analysis says Trump is dusting off the Bush-Iraq playbook because he's declared this is a terrorist organization, a terrorist nation, suggesting weapons of mass destruction, which fentanyl is. How many have died from it? That's a weapon of mass destruction, which brings me back to the story on Bush, how many claimed there never was a nuclear bomb. There never was one. We never should have gone into Iraq. But they had a weapon of mass destruction, poisonous gas. He'd used it on his own people. That is a weapon of mass destruction. And I will fight every day to those who say Iraq did not have a weapon of mass destruction. They had poisonous gas they released on their own people. That is a weapon of mass destruction. But coming up, I've got a Heritage Foundation expert on Latin America on what the blockade will mean for Venezuela. And you heard Maduro saying, we're not going to sit by and let it happen. We're going to fight it. Well, in what way? And also his view on what it means to our nation in blocking off all the sanctioned ships coming out of Venezuela. And what it means for Chevron. And I don't know how many American workers Chevron has in Venezuela, but they're at risk as well. You have to keep that in mind, not just the company, but the workers. So we'll be getting his take coming up in the next segment. Before the hour is out, the story behind the story. Golfer Payne Stewart's plane crash. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
In all these years that Wellington Environmental has been my sponsor, I've never mentioned their duct cleaning services. Allergy season is here, and Wellington crews clean air ducts daily in homes and commercial buildings, also cleaning air handling units and diffusers in commercial facilities. Why? Well, because people will see black dirt and mold on the vents, or they are actually suffering from allergies. Don't be fooled by low-cost duct cleaning providers saying they charge only per vent, because once they get on site, the price will skyrocket. Wellington does not do this, never has. Wellington will give you an estimate, and you say Larry Connors, and immediately you get a 20% discount. Call Cindy, 314-644-4930, 314-644-4930. Make your home and business better, safer with Wellington. Be well with Wellington. Back pain? Follow me to Esquire Sports Medicine, where they've got your back. Esquire is the oldest sports medicine clinic in St. Louis. Dr. Draghi and his team of chiropractors can get you back to work, back to life without the pain. New patients usually scheduled within 24 hours. 314-644-0885. 644-0885. EsquireSportsMedicine.com. Another day, must be another roofer in town. And John Beal and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing. And the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem? He can take care of it. And we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Renewal by Anderson asking, are you still battling cold drafts, windows icing up again, utility costs surging, you're worried about paying more every month? The truth is, you may already be paying for new windows and money lost to energy escaping your home. And here's the thing. You don't want to do this project twice. Renewal by Anderson spends every day replacing bad technology, poor installation of windows and doors that simply don't stand the test of time. But you can afford the best. America's most trusted window replacement company, Anderson. Call 877-WINDOWS or visit rbastl.com. Learn about our December savings event right now. 877-WINDOWS, rbastl.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products, exceptional service.
This is News Talk STL.
Your number, oh, and I know that you got mine. You know that I called too many times. You can call me, baby, you can call me anytime. You got to call me.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Andre Martinez Fernandez is the senior Latin American policy analyst for the Heritage Foundation. Andre, welcome aboard, sir.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I want to get your take on the decision of the Trump administration to put in place a blockade, a naval blockade of all ships, sanctioned ships, leaving or trying to get into Venezuela. Your first thought.
Well, I think it's important to note first that it's specifically blocking oil tankers, which is a response really to what has been a deeply corrupt industry in Venezuela tied to narco trafficking and tied to money laundering, and certainly a key avenue of support for the regime, which has been this what has essentially devolved into an oil smuggling operation.
Yeah.
The oil industry has been sanctioned for years by the United States because of all these connections to crime and the regime. Now really what we're doing is enforcing that by going after these shipments that are operating with false flags from different countries and smuggling oil out to our most dangerous adversaries around the world. That includes Cuba, Iran, and China, and empowers them while empowering the regime.
And all the terrorist organizations they support.
Yep, absolutely. It's a deep network that these countries have developed and that these criminal organizations have tapped into in cooperation with them. And certainly the use of, you know, there's this, the public state oil company in Venezuela, PDVSA, is basically, it's been found to by audits by the opposition and what little information we can get into their operations to have stolen, you know, several billion dollars worth of revenue from the industry itself. And that's led to the collapse of the oil industry in general, which is really right now just on a few last legs, because it has been more focused on becoming a money laundering and corruption enrichment scheme than it is an oil industry.
Well, you mentioned the state oil industry in Venezuela. We have a U.S. business there, Chevron, which is operating under specific sanctions and trying to walk the line. They help facilitate about 17% of Venezuela's oil exports to the U.S., circumventing the sanctions. Does that continue? What happens to Chevron? Nationalization?
Well, I think there's definitely a lot of concern that Chevron has expressed about what this increased pressure means for its operations in Venezuela, I think on both sides. The Trump administration has really put some substantial limitations on Chevron's operations already, kind of reversing what the Biden administration had done of really opening the floodgates to Venezuela's regime and that oil industry and more broadly. But what is the operation now is pretty limited, I would say, compared to just a few years ago.
Well, the numbers I'm seeing,
benefits for the regime.
The numbers I'm seeing are still 17% of the Venezuelan oil exports are going into the U.S. Yeah. Is that number correct?
I don't think those are going to be necessarily accurate to the latest numbers. Particularly, it's important to note that much of the exports that that Venezuela is actually engaged in are basically smuggling operations. So they're not even showing up in their official data and information as this shipment would have not shown up, because they're, again, using falsely flagged ships and kind of smuggling tactics to conceal the fact that they're exporting it. But to your point, there is still a substantial role for Chevron there. And I think that's something that the administration is evaluating very cautiously. But I mean, obviously, if we're talking about what the president has messaged, which is a broad blockade of oil, of the oil industry, that's going to affect the entirety of that industry, including what parts of it are connected to Chevron.
Well, you look at the proposal for a vast naval armada blockade, and yet we have a U.S. company operating under license of our State Department to be there. Why aren't we pulling the plug on that? That looks like absolutely 180 degrees from what Trump is trying to do. All right, I guess we lost him. We'll get him back, and I'll pick up that question again. Chevron is the main U.S. oil company. There might be some others, but again, they supposedly were crucial for 17% of the Venezuelan oil going to the U.S., bypassing those sanctions. Andre, we got you back online now, sir.
Hi, do you got me?
Yeah, now we got you. So I'm asking you that with the armada and the blockade Trump has put in place, and yet we're still allowing Chevron to operate there, that's assuming that Maduro doesn't nationalize and take over all of it anyway, which I think any country operating in a foreign nation has to worry about. But that's 180 degrees from what he says he's trying to do. How do we explain that?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I do. I'm not sure if what I was saying was cut off there at the end. But it, what we're if we're talking about a full blockade of the oil shipments out of Venezuela, that's going to impact the operations and presence of Chevron, just as it will the broader Venezuelan oil industry. So it's definitely something that I think you could see the regime take action to more fully expropriate that segment of the oil industry that's controlled by Chevron, as it's done with previous U.S. operations that were expropriated under Chavez. But I do think that all of this is definitely up for grabs. It depends on what the value is for the regime. I don't think that the regime is going to see a significant value in nationalizing its oil assets of Chevron if there's no ability to export that and move it beyond its borders.
Well, what do we know about the Americans working for Chevron and in Venezuela and Americans in Venezuela elsewhere? What do we know about that?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's been a pretty limited presence of actual American citizens there, in large part because Americans, and including those in the oil industry, have been targeted by the regime for political arrests and basically used as hostages in prisoner exchanges in the past. So a lot of this is not Americans on the ground operating now. It's in fact, there's very stern calls for Americans from the State Department not to be in Venezuela because of these arrests. So even there, the presence has really changed dramatically from what it was, you know, a couple decades ago for an American oil industry. And it's much more going through the regime in much of these operations and its presence, which I think is also why the Trump administration is not overly concerned about the kind of maintaining this one little segment of what is a dying industry, the oil industry in Venezuela, given that it's already been so heavily controlled and watered down by the regime.
All right. Andre Martinez Fernandez with the Heritage Foundation, Senior Latin American Policy Analyst. I want to thank you for your time, sir.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.
You bet. Wishing you a blessed Christmas, sir. Senator Eric Schmidt of Missouri said, I will not be apologizing. And I'm glad he's taken such a firm stance. Why would anyone say he should apologize? Well, China filed a $50 billion lawsuit against Eric Schmidt in retaliation because, as a Missouri attorney general, he was obviously dealing with China and the Wuhan labs. And so now they're going to come after him. Schmidt says Missouri got a $24 billion judgment against China, and they don't like that. They unleashed COVID on the world. We sued them, and we won. And now they want to sue me? It's totally ridiculous. They're just mad that we exposed their lies and their deceit. And he's absolutely correct about that. But the People's Government of Wuhan, the Chinese Academy of Sciences, Wuhan Institute of Virology of the Chinese Academy, all suing Schmidt for about $50 billion. When are we going to sue China, and what will we get out of it? It's not nothing for unleashing COVID upon our nation and the world to that extent. And here they come saying, you have slandered us because you sued. We slandered you? You killed Americans. And Senator Eric Schmidt is not going to play that game. And I love it. I love it. He's making it very clear. You want an apology for me? Hold your breath. It's not going to happen. There was an event that happened to a golfer well-known and loved. He had just won the U.S. Open and then was on a plane bound from Orlando to Dallas. And then something went wrong. We're talking about the story, behind the story, of golfer Payne Stewart's plane crash.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Tom Shaw Realtors has been helping sell, buy, lease property all over Missouri for almost 100 years. Call him 636-532-1922 or visit shawrealtors.com. You want the best place to watch baseball or any sport and be able to enjoy premium cigars and whiskeys? Lit Cigar Lounge. Lit has so many events each month, you need to constantly check the Lit Cigar Lounge Facebook. You don't want to miss anything. Plus, you can order food from Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta, delivered within minutes right to your table. By the way, we're in the season for great patio dining. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta has your table waiting. Renewal by Anderson asking, are you still battling cold drafts, windows icing up again, utility costs surging, you're worried about paying more every month? The truth is, you may already be paying for new windows and money lost to energy escaping your home. And here's the thing. You don't want to do this project twice. Renewal by Anderson spends every day replacing bad technology, poor installation of windows and doors that simply don't stand the test of time. But you can afford the best. America's most trusted window replacement company, Anderson. Call 877-WINDOWS or visit rbastl.com. Learn about our December savings event right now. 877-WINDOWS, rbastl.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products, exceptional service. Back pain? follow me to Esquire Sports Medicine, where they've got your back. Esquire is the oldest sports medicine clinic in St. Louis. Dr. Draghi and his team of chiropractors can get you back to work, back to life without the pain. New patients usually scheduled within 24 hours. 314-644-0885. 644-0885. EsquireSportsMedicine.com.
This is News Talk STL.
I don't need the pills you take, just feel the spirit moving. Brother, I ain't slept in days, all without the drugs you use. Help me for the builders you use me for the Great Commission. As it was and always will, as it is, I'm here to witness. Old time screaming and shouting, grow up, tell it on the mountain. Faith too strong to be left out and way of the trying God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Now, Larry Connors with the story behind the story.
The flight plan called for a course over the Florida Panhandle and then west to Dallas. Air traffic in Jacksonville requested a climb up to 39,000 feet.
47 Bravo Alpha, Jack, center climb and maintain flight level 390.
390, Bravo.
Just 2 minutes after that transmission, air traffic control noticed a problem. The small jet had drifted 9 miles off its course. Controllers tried to contact the plane.
November 47 Bravo Alpha, contact Jack Center on 135.65. November 47 Bravo Alpha, contact Jack Center on 135.65.
They repeatedly tried to contact the pilot, and they were getting no answer. This was 1999, October 25. On board that Learjet, leaving Orlando en route to Dallas, golfer Payne Stewart. He had won the U.S. Open back in June of that year. His second U.S. Open, prevailing over Phil Mickelson with a 15-foot putt, the longest putt to ever decide a championship on the final hole. Payne Stewart readily recognized with his knickers and his beret-type cap. I mean, he was a throwback in the image of many golfers as far as what he was dressing, his attire. But he was drawing a large crowd around him, always engaging with them, 43 years old and pretty much it was at the top of his game. So he boarded this chartered Learjet 35 with two of his agents and also a golf course designer for Jack Nicklaus. The pilot, Michael Klein, his co-pilot, Stephanie Bellegroog, and they were in charge of the flight. Everybody got on board at Orlando. They took off. You heard them say they were given a altitude and a direction. But then within less than 15 minutes, air traffic control realized they were not following the assigned course. They were continued flying straight when they should have been making a turn toward Texas. Anytime a plane does not follow the assigned course, air traffic control rightly gets concerned. You've got other planes out there that are on their assigned course, and now this plane might be going into their path. So that's something else air traffic control has to do. They've got to make sure other planes are out of the area while they continue contacting. And they had no understanding of what was happening on the plane at that point. They didn't know if it had been hijacked, and no one was going to be communicating. There was no way to really know. The NTSB eventually decided they were all incapacitated. There was a loss of cabin pressure. When you're flying a jet, private or commercial, It's pressurized, often up to 40, 50,000 feet or above. And the pressure is set inside the plane that it was never going to seem to be higher than maybe 12,000 feet maximum for you. And if pilots realize they've lost pressure inside the fuselage, they quickly put on their oxygen mask. But in this case, this was a creeping form of death, hypoxia. Makes you sleepy. Your motions, your actions are not fully controllable. You think you're reaching for a switch and you hit another switch. You're thinking you're making a move that you intend to do, but you've done something entirely different. I know in pilot training, I was also often shown examples of that you really have no idea what you're doing. You cannot even write your name out. You think you can. You think you're fully capable. It amounts to someone being drunk and thinking they're fully capable of driving a car when they're not. But on that Learjet, at 40-plus thousand feet, they were, quote, sleeping. And that's one of the signs of hypoxia. You begin to feel drowsy. It's understandable. You're on a plane, no big deal. Go to sleep. You don't count on the pilot and co-pilot doing that. And if they'd had any kind of warning, any kind of alert that they're losing cabin pressure, it was either ignored or they just didn't catch it. And it never was determined why there was a leak of cabin pressure. But they, too, suddenly were kind of sleepy and disoriented. And they might think they're perfect and communicating with each other. If one of them, if just one of them had put on the oxygen mask as they got sleepy, that might have changed the course of history and saved the lives on board. One of the things when I was learning to fly a pressurized plane, one of the things you could tell if you look at your nails and you see them getting pale or bright pink, depending upon the situation, that's a sign that you're being starved of oxygen. In addition to feeling sleepy and a little droggy, foggy-minded. But when the air traffic control tried repeatedly to reach that jet, they were getting no response. That's when they began to look at options. One of them was to summon and scramble a fighter jet to get up to that plane and see what was going on. And of course, that is more of the story behind the story.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
So I hear an out-of-towner asking someone, where's the best place to eat? Before they could respond, I said, Cafe Napoli. Where? Well, I said, Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C, and then you got Napoli Kirkwood, plus you got Napoli Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield. You'll find Napoli everywhere. Not too early to book a party and buy gift cards. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Now, the end of the story behind the story.
Looks like the front cockpit is either frosted or basically condensed over. I can't see inside the in the cockpit.
Hamilton's visual check confirmed controllers' worst fears. The frozen windows meant the plane's pressurization system had failed. The people aboard were likely dead. The plane was flying on autopilot.
Can you imagine you're on the highway and you pull up next to a car and you see everybody inside's asleep? And you recognize they're going to drive off the end of the road and there's nothing you can do.
For half an hour, Hamilton flew alongside the Lear, accompanying a ghost through the sky. Just before noon, F-16s from the Oklahoma Air National Guard in Tulsa caught up with the plane, replacing Hamilton.
Hamilton had to pull away because of fuel, but he flew for a period of time and trying to watch over the plane and could see, as you heard him say, the windows are frosted. I can see no movement. As he pulled away, He said, I just see the windows looking dark. He spent something like 10 minutes or more flying beside it, and then was directed to go to Scott Air Force Base, Illinois, to refuel. And that's when the Air National F-16s from Tulsa were assigned. Hamilton had been engaged in an air-to-air combat training against an A-10 Thunderbolt when he got a call for Bullet 1. That was his call sign. We need you to track this Learjet and find out what's going on with it. And when he caught up to it, he saw there was nothing he could do. When he pulled away the fighter jets out of Oklahoma, stepped in the Air National Guard from Tulsa, and there was nothing they could do either. The question was, where is it going to go? How much more fuel does it have? It's on autopilot. It's going to maintain this altitude and this direction until it runs out of fuel. And calculations were made as to how much longer the fuel would last and where it would come down. If it were going to come down in a major metropolitan area, what was going to be done then? One spokesman, Brigadier General Jim Hunter, Deputy Commander of NORAD at that point, said if the trajectory had carried it toward downtown Minneapolis, it would have been the Secretary of Defense's call to decide whether to give the order to shoot it down. He said it doesn't happen often, but this was not the first time NORAD had been asked by the Federal Aviation Administration to track a civilian aircraft inexplicably far off course. He said mostly we're called on to intercept aircraft trying to enter our airspace. But there were other stories, and I'll give you some of those in a moment. But many say we weren't really considering shooting it down unless it was going to be a threat to a major metropolitan area, judging by the fuel that was left and the course it was going to be crossing into pretty much open territory in South Dakota. But if they were wrong in their calculations, and if anything moved to redirect the course, it could have gone toward a more populated area. The Pentagon says it never considered shooting down the Learjet, but it was flying uncontrolled for 1,400 miles. As long as it was not headed for a heavily populated area, the Pentagon said we just didn't have to consider shooting it down, but we had no other option other than to watch it fly until it ran out of fuel. In fact, asked directly, would you have considered shooting it down? The spokesman for the defense secretary said it never reached that point. And the reason it didn't is because it was headed directly for an area in South Dakota. Unpopulated, pretty much open field, Mina, South Dakota. You got to really search for Mina, South Dakota. But after flying for almost 4 hours on autopilot, another chase plane saw it suddenly begin to drop nose down, and there was no recovery. All on board were already dead. It was a ghost plane from the moment the plane lost pressure and those on board were subjected to hypoxia. They were already dead. And this ghost plane continued flying across our nation. Bullet One, the first jet to give chase, the pilot said it was a helpless feeling. Nothing I could do. I realize the people inside are potentially unconscious, incapacitated, but there's nothing to do. I'm 50 to 100 feet away, and I can't do anything to help them. Jet ended up reaching about 45,000 feet. Still no response from those on board. I told you this is not the first such case where we've had hypoxia or something of that nature incapacitate the pilot and maybe everyone on board. Louisiana State football coach Robert Bo Ryan and a pilot died in 1980. On their Cessna, it deviated from a one-hour flight across the state, ended up tracking across Tennessee and North Carolina, and disappeared at sea as a jet from Langley Air Force Base in Virginia chased it. Saw it go into the water. They assume, again, it was a case of hypoxia. 1990, a Virginia lawyer who had been shot flew more than 800 miles down the East Coast until his Cessna crashed near the Bahamas, tracked for hours by military aircraft. They decided his wound was self-inflicted. 1997, a Piper Dakota piloted by a Long Island man went off course, flew until it ran out of fuel, crashed in the New Hampshire mountains. In that case, the pilot and his mother on board overcome by fumes from the engine. Army National Guard gave chase, but there was nothing they could do again. Payne Stewart. The nation was captivated by that ghost flight. October 25th, 1999. Tomorrow, another story behind the story. As always, I thank you for listening. We have another hour yet to come. And of course, following tonight's broadcast, President Trump will take to the airwaves. Stay with us and remember our pledge. One nation under God.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
John Bill Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Bill to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Bill has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF, John Bill. You and I might have something in common, back pain. I can tell you where I go for help, Esquire Sports Medicine, the spine of St. Louis. They can put athletes back on the field, so they can clearly help us. Esquire Sports Medicine, hands-on chiropractic help. On Big Bend, just north of Highway 40. 314-644-0885. EsquireSportsMedicine.com. EsquireSportsMedicine.com. Great patio season to enjoy any of the Cafe Napoli locations. How about the Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield? Enjoying coal-fired pizza, nothing else like it. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield. A few doors down, Lit Cigar Lounge, where you can enjoy premium cigars and whiskeys. Check the Lit Cigar Lounge Facebook for details, plus gift cards for friends. I'll see you at Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as support dogs for our brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check VincentsJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. VincentsJewelers.com. VincentsJewelers.com. Renewal by Anderson asking, are you still battling cold drafts, windows icing up again, utility costs surging, you're worried about paying more every month? The truth is, you may already be paying for new windows and money lost to energy escaping your home. And here's the thing. You don't want to do this project twice. Renewal by Anderson spends every day replacing bad technology, poor installation of windows and doors that simply don't stand the test of time. But you can afford the best. America's most trusted window replacement company, Anderson. Call 877-WINDOWS or visit rbastl.com. Learn about our December savings event right now. 877-WINDOWS, rbastl.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products, exceptional service.
This is News Talk STL.